Hello, everyone, and welcome to my podcast. My name is Caroline Pala, and I'm the host and the maker of Alles Blau. Now, you might be wondering why she's speaking in English. Why does it have a German name? Is it even German? I don't know. I think it is. But we will be speaking in English today because with me are Ninuca Shatberashvili and Sandro Sulabaritze, both born and raised in Tbilisi, Georgia. They are currently artists in residence at Esther Epstein's Message Salon Embassy residency in the Hunziker Areal in Zurich North. This residency program will feature other artists from Eastern European countries that are spending between 2 and 3 months here in Zurich. I'm very happy they joined me here at the recording booth for a long talk that I edited down to 80 minutes. So now I proudly present to you, from Tbilisi, Georgia, directly to the Koch Studio, Ninuca Shatberashvili and Sandro Sulabaritze in Alles Blau podcast, episode number 7. Let's get started. It just occurred to me, I did not record for the whole summer, and then this past Tuesday I recorded with an artist, and only when we were all finished she said, oh, I was so nervous. And you know, and I'm usually nervous, but I don't dare to say anything because I think, you know, it's weird. Or you know, sometimes when one person says that they're nervous, the other people get even more nervous. So I don't want to start that dynamic. But then today I thought, well, maybe, you know, people are nervous. And maybe, but you guys, I asked
I'm
you
not,
and you said you're not.
Because it's not live.
Cool,
because
exactly.
When it's live, I'm like terrified. When I had to go to this TV show, like live show. And I knew it like a month before and I was worried the whole month, like I had nightmares.
And television is like, that's a whole different thing.
Then I went to the radio and I thought it wasn't scary to me at all somehow, but then I felt also because you kind of don't control how you talk somehow, because you don't see that anyone's recording or like, I don't know, it's a bit strange, you know.
They didn't show you any monitors.
You don't feel that you are recorded somehow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was funny with this live on TV when we were with Obscura. It was funny. We just somehow we started laughing just before the on air.
And they showed how. And it was live?
That was live, and we were just like two of us. We were three, and two of us were just sitting there and laughing, like really laughing.
They asked me, will you come? But no, I will for sure, I will laugh there, because this television is a bit weird somehow.
Is it the national television or private?
It's kind of a religious television in some
way.
That's funny.
How did you get connected to them?
You know, they somehow, this cultural thing, you know, they also somehow
try to
go in or something. So then it started and this...
And they sit and
it was, it was somehow an easy situation, but at the same time it was kind of, you know, this... just youngsters having fun on the television. It was kind of nice also.
So did you do you want to talk about Obscura, because people might not have heard of it?
So it's kind of organization that started with friendship and also the same interests, and we are
six
six okay six
two curators and four artists. So
yeah, we just mixed stuff together and do exhibitions and...
Yeah, it's like a transdisciplinary organization somehow, and we also try to get to know other artists in Georgia, and now, of course, we want to expand it a little more, but let's see how it works, because we now don't even have our own space, because it's a bit hard to get a space there.
Like, so you mean the exhibition kind
of like space, a gallery, yeah, or even just a working space. We usually meet in one of our friends' flats.
Yeah.
We usually go there to have discussions and talks, because we, at least once in a week, we have to meet, because we have to discuss some stuff, how to get fundings, to apply for some projects.
How to be alive generally, yeah.
Yeah, how to...
That's a whole different story.
Yes, yeah. Because, you know, as an organization, you always have to do something to be seen.
Of course.
And not to die as an organization. So it's a bit hard.
So the invitation at the religious channel, was it because of a certain programming that you were planning, or was it just generally to get some exposure for your collective?
Actually, it was, we had this exhibition where we met Esther, actually. And
okay, just quickly, Esther, yeah, Epstein.
Yes. Yeah. And they just, it was kind of an exhibition in Tbilisi, followed by different exhibitions throughout the Georgia. It was kind of this.
It was like a one project, and we had four exhibitions in different places and cities, and two of them were in Tbilisi.
Yeah, but that was the final one, of this final exhibition of the exhibitions, and yeah, it got some kind of attention, and they just asked us to go to see how it is. Yeah, you know, just
you were talking about that exhibition.
Yeah.
They try to
promote somehow, maybe, or something.
That's good. Like cultural things.
Was there some true interest? I mean, had they seen the exhibition, or did they ask you to kind of describe what you had been doing there?
Yeah, it's kind of description.
Okay.
Yeah, right, more like, actually, because they have this cultural section in their TV.
In their programming.
Yeah.
But it's good to get exposure, and also you're very young, and it's good to even just practice how to speak about your work in public.
Yeah,
and,
now we have to do it quite a lot.
So now you're here in Switzerland, and you're showing your work at the Kunst 17. At the art fair in Oerlikon.
Yes.
And I have seen the work, but if you don't mind, would you like to talk a little bit about it? I could maybe just quickly say for the listeners who have not been there, you're showing an installation of like props, or like a set design of a dinner that you had.
Already
I don't
happened.
Want to say staged, because it was like a real dinner party. Yeah. So in the exhibition in Oerlikon, you're showing some props, and it's like the production design of that happening.
Yes.
That took place in September. And so maybe I would like to talk a little bit on how much was really planned. How much was really planned, and how much did you put it together kind of on the spot?
Okay, so I'll start. When we arrived here, we just... and also because Oerlikon is a bit far from the city, we wanted to have one evening where some people could come and see our studio and get to know us somehow. So it wasn't planned in the beginning. We just wanted to have this. And I was thinking of cooking, like a really easy evening. But then it somehow, as it usually happens, we had more ideas. And so, we just...
What ideas?
Like Sandro...
Yeah,
you can say,
you know. So one of these So yeah, we had this somehow initially we thought that we just would say hello somehow and make this kind of
like a welcoming
party
kind of. Or something like
so,
that.
So yeah, we just thought that we could make it really fast and just you know, just after a week or something, and finally it got really serious in some way. And now when we end our residency here, we think, or maybe it's kind of still one of the most things we've done here. Though there is also this
and also
upcoming,
because the residency itself was more about communication and not about only working in a studio. So somehow it happened that this evening was somehow really important in a way.
Yeah, we had this introduction which with slides to show people how to act at the table, at the Georgian table, kind of. It's not that really different, but it still kind of has its own kind of things to follow. And so we had this introduction, and we also had this one-way cameras, disposable ones. You just use it one time, and they were spread. Six of them were spread all over the table in silver packages.
In what kind of packages?
Silver, you know. They
oh,
were
silver,
just,
yes.
Yeah,
okay.
It's, people didn't know what it is, and we had this introduction with this silver package, what it is, or something. We made some kind of Überraschung, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was kind
so
of
everyone
fun.
Could take pictures with it. So we also had this different kind of documentation, not a subjective one somehow, because everyone could take a picture.
Yeah, even the kids.
Yeah, everyone.
And somehow the thing that, you know, this main thing about Georgian table is that you mainly share dishes together. You just put it in the middle of the table and you don't have your own, so you have to be a part of the whole. And also somehow these six cameras were also kind of this shareable thing. You could share.
You had to pass it.
You had to pass it and
to another person.
You just have to be contacting someone you don't know. And this table kind of we had this most important part. And even after that we realized that people just were sitting there like of all
generations
and
different interests. Some people from our neighborhood, from Orlikon, from the Hunzikerareal, and also from the city, and just like different people who were interested. So it was really nice because it was a really long table. Maybe 40 people or more
maybe
were
50,
sitting on the table, but also on the floor and on the stairs. So you could see it easily that on the table people didn't know each other, but they had to communicate, and it was really nice. Everyone was talking and it was nice to see. It was really friendly day somehow. And about the preparation, I decided to make this tablecloth for the tables, and I decided to make tablecloths that are somehow traditional Georgian tablecloths in a different way. But usually we have this blue and white tablecloth in Georgia with the ornaments and different themes like animals, plants, and
ornaments
and yes. And so I wanted to also put some Georgian details somehow in our studio. So I just did this, and when it was finished we saved it. We liked it because there were some spots after the event, obviously, spots from wine and Yeah, just
honey and
everything.
Just the leftovers.
Leftovers, yes, everything. And yeah, somehow I really liked it. And then
we kept it.
And we didn't really have a lot of time to think about new things to do for the fair. So we thought, and also it's this kind of event really is somehow the same also aesthetic and maybe idea that Message Salon has in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to present this already.
It's kind of, you know, this is kind of different part of the happening, which you can just put it somewhere, you know. It's we just wanted to this Georgian dinner, we put the
to
part
show
and,
already
kind of
happened things.
Yeah, just
yeah.
Language barrier now.
No, you're doing fine.
No, it's okay. Just sometimes.
Yeah,
it
and
strikes.
We just liked it on the walls. These two tablecloths on this Kunst. What's the name?
Kunst 17.
Kunst 17.
Very imaginative. Such an original name.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think it's a very special moment, actually, in the morning when you have a dinner party and you know before you make do the dishes, you just kind of look at the mess and
yeah.
You ponder, oh, should I start doing the dishes or shall I wait a little more? You have some coffee and you reminisce about, you know, I don't smoke anymore, but I remember I used to sometimes just take the stubs, the cigarette stubs out of the ashtrays and finish them in the morning. I think it's a very special moment.
Yeah. You know, somehow in Tbilisi, maybe it's even here, but I felt this moment when the guests are already gone and you have these really close friends together with you, and this moment is really one of the most memorable thing in the day. So yeah, it's kind of, you know, we had this this kind of artwork, if we say, that we made together with all these 50 or whatever people we were together. So we just put it on the wall and that was it, yeah.
Yeah, and it somehow stood out from the whole fair to me, not because it is ours, but because it's not just a painting or an installation, somehow it's like you can see that something happened there, and it's nice. And we wanted to have also a little table there, so we could invite people to have a glass of wine, not a meal, on our
a takeout meal maybe.
just a glass of wine or. Mm-hmm. Grapes and bread or something, like a snack, to also to talk about what they think about it and to also invite them to our next event, to our zine release that's gonna happen on 4th of November.
So exactly, that's next Saturday.
Yes.
So it's gonna be a zine release, and also, do you also do like an open studio?
Yes, we are now in the process still of doing our works somehow. And if we will try to finish them, if it will be possible, but if not, there it will be just an open
but
studio.
I think we will
but
finish
if not,
it, yeah.
I think it will also be a little exhibition.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something about this, our dinner. We had also this music live from Tbilisi directly, and this person was sitting in his house and making music with Skype video.
Get out of here!
Yeah, and he was playing there, and you know, we had this final moment when people are already kind of had the meal and drink, and we had this music live yeah, just ambient one. Maybe some people didn't realize it, but there was this music from Tbilisi.
And on the wall,
there was this small screen of the sky. Playing the music.
But did the person who played the live music, did they see you?
Yeah.
He said that he saw everything.
Yeah, we had this. it was like a kind of Skype call.
Call, yeah.
In some way, it was a hidden camera, but it was just to know, to let him know what's happening.
What's going on?
Yeah, just to have this, this feedback somehow.
Yeah, when I was visiting last week, or was it 2 weeks ago,
yes.
I was looking through the pictures, the photographs that people had taken with the disposable cameras. And maybe because I asked you, how come there's so little food photography? There was like hardly any food photography.
That was funny. Yeah, people...
When we opened the door, they had to sit straight away, and then Sandro had his
I was the
master of ceremony.
Yeah, kind of.
We call it the leader somehow.
Tamada, it's kind of a person who is the leader in the table, who says the toasts. I was somehow this leader and. I made it clear initially that I am the leader and
they had to listen to me
and we have to say together this cheers in Georgian that sounds kaumarjos. And it was really great that people just followed these rules. I didn't expect it.
That's also because they had to sit, they had to listen to his explanation of how to act on table, and then he also explained that you can use these packages and use these cameras, but then everyone was starving, I think.
Yeah, we and had then, this kind of...
It was like more like cold meals on the table, and then I had to bring hot meals with big pots. So there was...
this action going on.
I don't think it was enough time for them to take pictures because it was intense.
Really focused on the food and not on the picture.
And when they realized that they can take food photography, it was kind of already
late.
Leftovers.
Because we really didn't expect so many people. So if I would, then I would do much more stuff. Because it wasn't...
But actually,
it was enough. More and more people were coming, so I got a bit nervous, but it was fine in the end.
So in the fair, well, the opening was Thursday, I couldn't be there, but you guys were present, right, for the opening?
Yes.
So did you get to talk to people who didn't have any background information, who didn't know what had been going on at your studio, etc.? How did it come across? Did you get any reactions?
Yes, a lot of people were asking what this thing was about. I think everyone got somehow that it was a tablecloth, but they wanted to know the behind story somehow. Mm-hmm. And we talked, so it was quite nice. And we also saw some people that we didn't even notice, because there were a lot of people on our event. And they were looking at the pictures and trying to find themselves in the pictures. But we didn't even notice them somehow, because it was like a really big crowd. So, yeah, it was nice, actually. Some people found this tablecloth really beautiful. And, yeah, I think it was nice.
I also think it's really, really well done. Really, I think this it's a difficult situation to have this one wall.
Yeah.
And generally a small space.
Yeah.
And I really felt it was very organically fit into the space that you had to work with.
It's not so easy to show something in this kind of place, you know, because it's like too much things, it's not really easy to notice some things. And this in some way was a bit noticeable because it was a bit more different, I think.
It was.
It was somehow light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really simple in some way, you know, this kind of approach, simple approach that somehow is somehow worked, more visible maybe. Beyond this kind of well-done artworks, you know. It was really different.
Maybe later we can talk a little bit about the November 4th, what people can expect. Because it's going to be pretty much the last chance to see you here in the residency. I would like to talk a little bit about you guys, your life in Georgia. Yes. It's really interesting that you are both born smack in the middle of the Civil War. And I think, Sandro, you're born in 91.
Right.
And you were born in 1993. Three. And everybody do the math yourselves. I would like for you to talk a little bit about your upbringing, your childhood, how you know, what were your parents doing, how were you brought up, how did you get into art? I mean, you both studied media arts at the academy in Tbilisi, but until then there was 20 years before that. And if you could talk a little bit about your childhood, I would really like that.
You can start.
Let me start. Okay. Okay. I don't remember this when I was born.
Obviously.
I know somehow this was really a tough period. For us, as we were kids, it was kind of when you just you are living in this situation when the electricity is usually going black and just sometimes it comes back, and you know, we had these sayings like when we used candles a lot, of course, and when the electricity was shut down, we were putting these candles, and then when it came back, we were waiting until like next 5 minutes with these lit up candles to wait. Maybe the electricity will go on soon again. So it was actually fun, and you know, this our generation somehow missed this time, because when there was no electricity, there was nothing to do actually in the evenings, and people were just sitting together,
talking
and having good time actually.
Somehow, communication somehow.
And somehow it's maybe from the perspective of children that they didn't have this access to the reality, and I always imagine how it was hard for my parents that they were at the moment at the age that I'm now, and I'm just it's really out of imagination somehow. Yeah, it was just like normal life actually. We had somehow year after year, it was getting more and more civilized. That's funny, but actually, we don't think that it's kind of we know that it wasn't normal and stuff, and but it was how it was, and we have this experience, and that somehow makes us to be different in some way. Yeah. So what do you think about your childhood?
I think you should talk about your parents.
Yeah, parents. I remember they were, they were trying different stuff to make a living in some way. And it's just a funny thing that in the beginning of on the first year of this wars, there was problem with water supplies and any communication, and sometimes electricity and gas, and so it was kind of a mixed problem, and people were doing fireplaces in the yards, somehow they were cooking on the iron,
like a grill.
Iron. I mean, when they iron clothes, sometimes because that was I just know that they were making eggs on this. That's funny. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's really funny now. But sometimes they were using this because they had to try all this stuff, because sometimes there was electricity and nothing else, so you just had to try your best. And
but what were the stoves? Was it a gas stove or
yeah,
electric?
Yeah, generally it was gas.
But
so
the gas was out.
Yeah, so, gas was out. I just remembered there was this gas pipes in the houses. I was wondering why they are there, because they weren't
working.
They were kind of a decoration. So
yes.
It's actually from today's perspective, it's a horrible situation. But yeah, when you live there,
when you're born like that,
and when you're part of this, that's kind of normal making life situation.
Yeah. It wasn't really normal for our parents.
Yeah,
for us it was more normal somehow, because we were.
Yeah, we started, from scratch, and that's how you develop by the time. And yeah, just. And now somehow, really, about my country, I really imagine that today, it's kind of. It's making steps further really fast in some way. And now, yeah, I feel that today the living is almost, of course, not the same, but somehow socially it's the same as in here. And I find it kind of home now in Zurich in some way. So it's now, yeah.
It was an easy adjustment.
Yeah, it's really easy. You know, this city is still the same size almost as Zurich, yeah, just you can meet people in the streets like in Tbilisi.
By accident.
By accident.
Usually in Tbilisi it's usually like that. You go out and you meet your friends and the people you know, like it happens quite a lot. It might not happen in bigger cities, but here it's possible. Here we were meeting people by accident all the time. It was really nice actually. For us.
So where would you say did you meet people mainly?
When you mean?
No,
where?
Like how, or you know, what were the circumstances?
Yeah. Okay, for example, somehow we met people in a Kunsthalle, just several people who were in Tbilisi. Some of them really speaks Georgian, and that's really fun.
One of our friends lives here. Another was here in a residency, also from Tbilisi.
The Beans.
Now in the Beans residency. And then she left, and now another friend of us came here. So it's some kind of... there's this communication between Tbilisi and Zurich that's also why we felt home, maybe, because...
Yes.
Because it was much...
That's because, is it the founder of the Beans residency, or who is Georgian, or does he have relatives in Georgia? Do you know? Because once I read a piece on him, but I don't quite remember.
The founder of Beans came to our event, actually, this man, but I don't really know.
But did he speak Georgian?
No.
Okay.
But the people who work in the Beans, they usually have been to Georgia, and they have this communication, and yeah.
Yeah, it's somehow
one talk about your parents. I mean, their background. She was wanted about your childhood, not only gas and electricity.
Okay, that was fun.
How you got to?
Okay, my parents are still artists. practicing ones. And
what are their names?
Kote Sulaberidze and Nino Chilashvili. Yeah, mm-hmm. I always feel this kind of artist family background. In some way, it was hard to make a living in some way. But on the other hand, for me, it's like I really feel that this kind of understanding of art is somehow in both way. In one way, it's hard because, you know, you somehow know everyone in Tbilisi art scene, and also like you know, you kind of know everything what's happening in the art and how it's happening, and that somehow like interferes what you want to do, because you know what to expect, so you somehow try not to do something in some way. But on the other hand, it's really it's really a strong background to start with, and it makes to go forward and do stuff.
Okay, I'm not sure if I understood what you said about the disadvantage of it. I understood the advantage, but not the disadvantage.
I didn't understand.
You want to do something different?
Let me start again.
Yes, maybe.
Rewind.
I think you should.
Okay.
I'm a dictator. And you should speak come you became an artist. And also this background was, that's what I meant. That's what she was asking for, I think so.
Okay, let's start again. I come from artist family, and actually I always wanted, and I was always interested in more scientific part. Actually, in my life, I was always doing some stuff, you know. It's during this school period, I was doing I don't know, pneumatic guns and stuff from scratch. That was funny. And
planes
and funny stuff. Yeah, just I was really interested in designing stuff. And yeah, I wanted to go further with this, but somehow, yeah, I just wanted to be an industrial designer or something like this. And then still it's kind of, we still struggle with industry in some way in our country, and it was difficult to start something like this, and it was kind of useless. So somehow I was also interested in art in some way, from my background and from my family. And then I applied photography, something like this mixture of science and technology and art. And today, like after I applied, already I don't know, 6 or 7 years has passed, and I feel that I'm a photographer today, and I want to go further with this. But in some way, of course, I like taking pictures, but on the other hand, I like somehow deconstructing this how photography is today. Because it's kind of today we feel that photography is something that's really obvious and that's really real and objective, and somehow we just see these old photographs that's today, and even like through the whole history of the photography, they were always kind of treated and somehow retouched and something and processed, and somehow this way of understanding the photography that's always real, it's not like that. And every photographer knows that maybe that photography is not a tool that makes something real. I mean, but it still has in our culture and in our understanding in the world that we see it, it's something real. And somehow I'm now building a camera, and I like to building cameras that that are made the different way, not like the human eye, but something right, like different, like insect eye, for example, and to see what will happen and what kind of image will it record. So it's yeah, just that's how I'm in art now.
I saw parts of your planning process, how you're planning on making this camera, and I saw images of a smaller, maybe prototype, a smaller version of that camera that was your diploma work at the Arts Academy. So this insect eye, looking at the result, it seems like, I mean, what's interesting is the way of seeing and not what it sees. I don't know how to explain it.
No.
Because you don't see what's outside the insect.
Yeah.
You see, you're like in its head.
What does it see? You see what the insect sees, but not.
But is that all it sees, really?
Yeah, that's the.
You know, it's kind of always like that. We don't know what you see, for example, and what other person sees and how they. You know, that's what I thought said about this disadvantage of my family background, that my father has this work, and I always make these references, and I hate this, you know. My father has this artwork. I always want to get rid of my kind of this background, but yeah, I hardly can make it. my father has my father is a colorblind, and he's a painter. That's also kind of nice thing. And he had this art. He has this artwork that's he made these two giant paintings at the same time. Like one of them is the way we see, and the way we should see the normal people with normal sight, and the other painting is
the same painting,
the same scene, but in the way he perceives it. So it's kind of this theme is about the perception, how people see it, and maybe he even sometimes says that maybe that's even wrong, because that's kind of just imagination of what he did. So, you know, somehow I make this reference to his and my artwork in some way, because I'm now building the camera that that's really different from human sight. And, you know, it's really interesting that there are two types of eyes in nature. And one is this one lens eye, which humans have, like we have only one hole to get the light information. And there is this insect eye, which has like thousands and maybe more, hundred thousands of tiny holes that get light and information around them, and that's really, I just wanted to mimic it. And then it is how it is, and it's really different what humankind eye or a camera, all the cameras today that we use on our phones and digital or maybe even film cameras, they are all the same structure. They have this one lens and one hole to get the information, and then I try to make it like thousands of them.
I know. I mean, and then they say that like a 3D camera is such a big deal, and I feel that it's not really. I mean, come on. It's, you know, it's just a big load of additional data that is captured when you film in 3D, but I feel that the result is so not impressive.
Yeah.
I feel the same.
Yeah. So yeah, I always now it's the first work that I made with my first prototype of it. It's a hand palm, and you know, I even now after 3 years has gone when I made this project, I think that it's the first thing when you change your sight to see, to try what's happening, to understand what's happening, you look at your hands, right? So it's kind of I want to go on with this and go deeper in making cameras, and also somehow and see how my body reacts to it in some way. Of course, it's imagination of myself, my hand, but it's still kind of this way, to make a camera and then take a picture of my body parts, maybe, or maybe whole body, I don't know, just we'll see.
And your parents are still practicing artists?
Yeah, yeah, they are. And
and do they look at your work? Yeah. Do they know what you're doing?
Yeah, they know, of course. Yeah, I think they like it, of course, because I'm their child. And yeah, and they're my parents, but yeah, just like that.
What should I say?
It's just how start how it started, and then you'll go on.
Yeah. So I was also born in Tbilisi, and I wasn't raised in an artistic family somehow, but still it was influenced by it somehow, because there's this connection between my parents' professions and my parents' professions and to art somehow. So my father, he's an archaeologist, and my mother is an architect, and also so I was raised in I was usually going to the museums with them. They were working in the, they still are working in the museum. So I had this connection. They were always taking me to exhibitions and different kinds of stuff. And there, I also have an aunt, and she's a She's a restorator. So I was always surrounded by this materials, paints, and different kinds of stuff. So I had this, access to all of this materials somehow, and they were also giving me all these materials because I really liked to draw and do things with my hands. So I never even thought to go to another direction somehow, because I always, even when I was little, maybe it's common for the children, but I always thought that I wanted to be a painter or someone or an artist. So then I had to graduate, and then I also chose to go for photography. Because I was interested in it, but not as Sandro, not in a technical way. Somehow I'm a bit more, I don't know, it's a bit different with me. And Yeah, I was going there for 4 years. Then I finished my bachelor there, and it somehow wasn't enough photography because I don't feel as a photographer myself. But still, I like to work with camera, but I don't like to control it somehow. I more like to use it as it already is. I don't even like to fix it too. I just like the pictures how they
may come out.
Yeah, and I also like film, but it's a bit expensive, but still I like it very much. But I don't think that it's my thing in some way, but it's also nice that you have this connection with something. Like maybe I didn't learn so many things about photography, but still it's a part of me. So I don't know what to talk. I'm stuck.
That's okay. Are you still pursuing? I mean, are you still working with cameras, or is it like right now it's on the side? Did you bring a camera to Zurich, for example?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually try to take it everywhere else. I have this analog camera, but yeah, sometimes from time to time I go back. And last year we had this exhibition. We had one exhibition even together maybe 5 years ago where I showed two of my pictures, and after that I never took a picture like seriously. And then this last year I also showed my three of my images, but usually I try not to, and I don't work with camera as a professional. Yeah, and I'm like more in a process of finding out what I like more. Actually, I like everything, but I'm a bit in a finding out process to see what I want to do. Yeah. I'm stuck.
I mean, I think it might be interesting to learn a little more about how the residency is actually organized. I mean, I might talk to Esther also here in the recording booth at some point.
Yeah.
But on your end, is this your first residency in another country?
Yeah.
Yes.
And did it, how do you say, are your expectations being met, or is there...
Yeah, somehow I think maybe for me and maybe for Ninutz also, I had no expectations actually. I was just... Yeah, I had expectations. I thought that I would visit the place and the city, which is really kind of not socially as connected to me as Tbilisi. But thanks to this residency, it happened like really on the other way. And now we are really busy with having lunch with somebody or
meeting
or
people,
maybe making podcasts.
Going to dinners.
It's beyond my expectations that we are so socially active here. And on some way this part is really, you know, I thought that I would just come here and stay at the studio and dedicate this time to the work I want to do, but it turned otherwise, and that's nice. I mean, I just accept it as it is, and that's really nice.
Yeah, usually, yeah, we were, because we also work together, we thought that it would it's maybe it's not so easy to find a residency where they accept two people, but it's for a first residency we thought that it would be nice to go somewhere together. But before we got this proposal from Esther, we for a long time already we wanted to go to a residency, but we were just checking some stuff and we never send our portfolios because it's a bit, when it's the first time, it seems a bit hard somehow to send your portfolio. Sometimes they want it, they want to even to touch it. You have to send it by post. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it takes some, it needs some preparational time.
Yeah, and also kind of in Tbilisi, you're kind of active and you keep it.
You always kind of have your plans, so you can't really
just go. It's somehow sometimes it's like
you always have something to do there. So
some responsibilities and
yeah. So we thought that like we wanted to go to a residency, but somehow it was not hard. You know, but yeah, we couldn't decide to send our portfolios somewhere else. We never did it. So then the residency came to us.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, do you want to talk about how that came about? You said Esther saw your show.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
So we had this exhibition of Obscura.
Yeah, I want to tell this part. Okay, that was funny. We had this opening of the exhibition and it went kind of nice. And then we were really tired because, you know, this exhibition was one of these, like, the last moment days when you just make things until almost the last. No, actually, it wasn't like that. But anyway, we were really tired at that day and the whole day we could not have any break. And it was already kind of maybe 11 or 12, I don't remember, it was already
the
night.
End of the
we really wanted to have something to eat and we went into a random cafe just
in front of our gallery.
Yeah. And
not our gallery.
No, whatever. So we just went inside and sat in the chairs and then we realized that this place is not for eating and they just have only snacks and wine and we're just sitting there and maybe even checking the reactions on social media or something and then there was this strange woman sitting all alone in the far corner of the cafe drinking red wine and with red lips and lipstick and red eyeglasses and strangely looking at us and you know of course we noticed it but you know it's maybe something like strange person sitting there
was looking at us like
and then
we felt that she wanted to come to us and talk to us but you know when you are too tired and you don't do it yourself somehow and she was still really looking at us.
We just sat down and then realized that the place is really not for us and then just wanted to go out and then this lady comes and says hello, let's meet because
I'm interested in your
work.
She asked if this is this your exhibition and something like this.
She said that, yes, I thought so. And she was interested about Obscura because, she was also looking for someone to bring in Switzerland, but she wasn't like really
she was thinking or something.
Yeah, she was just thinking. She had to find someone, but in this case, she just somehow liked the exhibition and also the idea of Obscura, maybe. And then.
But that we had this in several other meetings throughout the month or something, or 2 months, and then we just slowly we just got to know her better, and then
got friends with her somehow.
And then we are now here in Zurich. So it's
it happened out. Really easily, in not really in easily, but case, in this case, if you compare it to other residences where you have to really try to get in.
And we had this nice coincidences, like we met her in the street somehow in this demonstration about
in Tbilisi.
There was this demonstration about pedestrian rights, mm-hmm. and there's another organization called Walk.
They promote to walk and not to drive a car.
Yeah, and they are trying to
promote
somehow
bring
up the pedestrians' problems in Tbilisi. So they're our friends. So, and not only because of that, we usually go to this kind of demonstrations, and we just met her there once. And yeah, Tbilisi is also that kind of city where you usually meet people just by accident.
So is traffic a big problem?
Yeah, in some way nowadays it had got really kind of active, because I know this during this maybe last 10 years the amount of cars had grown, and it's kind of a problem going on today, because it's kind of, I don't know, maybe it has grown like 20 times or something, mm-hmm. even.
Yeah.
So it's kind of really ongoing topic and
problem. And also the people from the villages from different cities.
It's kind
have
of
to
urbanization problem.
Yeah, urbanization problem. But Tbilisi is the capital, of course, but also the main city where all this infrastructure is, and also universities. So most of people have to move, or they choose to move. So it's also a big problem, because it's too crowded somehow.
Yeah, yes. Even more crowded than we used to it in early period when we were young. So,
and is there public transportation?
Yeah,
yes,
there
of
is,
course.
Of course, but it's still
it's not so good as it's here.
There is a room for improvements.
Mm-hmm.
You can say
mm-hmm.
like
yeah.
this. So,
I think what you were talking about applying for you were thinking about applying for other residencies, but never could quite bring yourself to do so.
Yeah.
This is actually something that is very much discussed at this moment here in the city of Zurich, and also in other in the whole country, and I'm sure in other places. You know, how much sense do residencies still make?
Yeah.
Because people here nowadays, they can afford actually to travel, and usually it's really hard to leave, because many people have family. They have jobs, part-time jobs, they have an apartment, and so to leave all these things behind, it takes a bunch of organization, and just many people are just not willing to do that anymore, you know, to take their kids out of school. And it might be an adventure, but if it's a very short period of time, for instance, you really think twice if it's worth all the effort. And then you do the same when you come back. So they're discussing other models of, exchange, because I think the exchange is very important and also valuable, but especially for people from richer countries such as Switzerland, it is questionable how much sense it makes to finance residencies in other countries, or if they should, if there's other models of financing, subsidizing artistic production rather than finance a stay in another country. But it's I think it's this is really quite the beginning of this discussion.
Yeah, and in some ways somehow it feels that these residencies don't quite well together with art in some way, because
don't quite what
work well with art in some way, because it's somehow, even making a portfolio is kind of another job. Maybe it's part of artistic practice, of course, but there are people, it feels like that, I'm not sure, but there are people who make good art and there are people who make good portfolios, and that's kind of the reality.
Good promotions.
Yeah, and that's kind of the time we are living in some way, and that's the topic I think most people maybe are aware of and think of, and I think that's also a thing to be improved in some way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's a huge topic. Yeah. Also, you know, how well people are able to talk about their work, or it still seems that referencing other artists and referencing theory is like super popular here. Yeah. And I just find it really boring. Maybe it's because I studied art theory. It just seems trying to attach your work to theory. I don't feel that that should be the artist's job. I mean, not that artists, I think it's just, it should just be a given fact that the artists read. All artists that I know, they read a lot, and they do they do a lot of self-schooling, self-teaching. I mean, you constantly feed yourself with what's happening in the world and inputs, just generally inputs. And I don't think that we should have to justify our work by, oh, actually, I read
Foucault
or whatever, you know. It's I feel it's weird that we have to do that.
Yeah. I also feel that way. There are different kinds of artists, you know. So everyone has their own
story,
idea of what being artists means. But I actually agree with you in this way. Yeah. For me, art is more like a feeling, somehow. Maybe it's
about it's what fulfilling I do, something. That's
but also, actually, I should say that this residence, because I should say that we are also not that kind of people who are promoting themselves, and it's, of course, it's a must. Somehow, you have to do it. You have to bring up yourself somehow to
went
the audience.
Went to the religious channel.
But you know, that we do, but it's not so easy for me. I think not so easy for Sandro. And this residency was actually also somehow about communication. So we learned how to communicate with people, how to promote ourselves a little more.
Maybe. Yeah, it was a nice experience
It was an experience somehow.
Yeah, but yeah, it's how it is, the reality today, and kind of every person still has to deal with it, and that's even these problems and this misunderstandings about all this stuff that you don't get or whatever, you have to deal with this, and just try to be honest in every direction and every way, just be as you are, and that's the most important thing, maybe.
Yeah, I think so too. Also, I mean, making a portfolio is also something you get better at.
Yeah,
it's practice, and also taking no's for answers. You know, so you get rejections all the time when you apply. For every positive reaction, you get a certain amount of rejections, and that's just a part of it. And I mean, for me, that was kind of hard to learn.
Also, I think there is this, this cultural difference throughout the world that also really matters. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of translation of the visual art into text, and also translation, I don't know, Asian art into European or whatever. It's all the same. It's always like creating something new, and that I think we always keep in mind this thing. And even making portfolio is another artwork in some way, and that's how it is. And you, for example, you're a visual artist. You today, or yeah, if you want to go further into, I don't know, in some sort of local art, you have to get to know how this local people perceive it in some way. Yeah, and otherwise it's getting, you know, somehow this... it's also on the other way, it's also attractive to make something from a different culture and make it, how is the word? I forgot.
Say it in Georgian.
Yeah. Or maybe you can describe it.
No, it's kind of when you, for example, when you're taking this African stuff to Europe, it's what's this?
Import?
No, something like, you know, even fruit, when they take the fruit from one...
Smuggling?
Place. No.
Appropriation?
No, it's a word for...
Interaction?
Stealing?
No, not that direction. Like, when for example, when I take Chinese... I don't know, whatever, to America, or maybe even from Australia, from Aborigines, something. That's kind of not activity, but the object is something.
Well, it's usually
exotic, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And this exotic thing is always present in some way, but I know exotic is not a good art in some way.
Yeah, but see, actually, when we were talking about your installation in the Kunst,
yeah,
17,
was exotic, yeah.
No, but I think
some
not.
Way.
Actually, I was thinking how there's these folk elements that you were describing about the ornaments on the tablecloth, but at the same time, in Switzerland, there's very similar but same but different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's sure.
There's also all kinds of.
Patterns.
Dining or like table, embroidery for tablecloth and napkins, and I think probably in every country they have it. I did not think
that
it's exotic. I did localize it in Georgia,
and also because I did it, I didn't do it as
properly.
Like, nah, I didn't copy the ornaments. I just did what I wanted to. I just chose some. I did stamps myself.
Coriander, that's really...
like.
Did you make potato stamps?
Yeah,
yes. Yeah. So, like, of course, the tablecloth, like a usual tablecloth, is a bit different. But I just catch the feeling somehow and kept, like, I put some... Georgian thing into this tablecloth, but it's of course not directly the same thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's when it becomes a problem is when you're as an artist you take elements from your country of origin into art production solely because you feel that it is expected from you.
Yeah.
But when you, I mean, why would you have to pretend that you're from somewhere else? You know, that's where you're from. And I think that's totally legitimate.
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, it's kind of, with this evening, we somehow made this kind of, we thought about this when you just come from another country or something. But it was still kind of really first idea, just... random one. And then on the 4th of November we will try to avoid this in some way, because we
to do this Georgian thing.
Yeah, it's it's still we're living in a contemporary world, and we still try to make something that's to build up something that's really unusual in some way, and that's the feeling we wanted to express in some way.
Yeah.
To do something that doesn't
really have a certain nationality, maybe. Of course,
of course it has this experience, if we're from
Georgia and we do something, it also is Georgian art in some way, but still we don't want, as he said.
I mean, we try to be honest, and we try to be something that's really matters in Tbilisi, and to do something there, because in some way this part of exotic part will never work in the home country, right? And that's what we expect from our last event here during this day.
So are you in the midst of the scene production right now? Are you photocopying like crazy? Or?
Actually, we did the zine pretty easily.
What's the how many copies do you make?
150.
150?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or 200 maybe?
I think 150.
Somewhere between.
And do you sign them all?
We don't know yet.
We never thought of that.
Yeah.
I have a terrible signature. I hate my handwriting.
Anyway, now somehow, we are just...
We are more focused on the work we want to present, because the zine is kind of now already done somehow, the main
structure, and we have to just say that it's ready in some way.
For
and
printing,
print
and then
it.
It's done, and...
Then,
Now there's still 1 week for us to... work, and let's see how it works out.
My fingers are already kind of having professional trauma
from the 15,000 straws.
Yes,
that you're
exactly. So it's just like one hole and then another and another. It's kind of, it's when you do it manually, you feel it like the whole strength of this material, and whatever.
Nobody said building an insect eye was easy.
No.
So what happens to the artwork that you produce here? Can you take it with you, or does it belong to the residency program, or how does that work?
So
there is this problem about me.
Actually, we don't have to do. We didn't have to do much here. There was just one thing we had to do, and it was the zine. Because Esther, she's always doing the zines with her artists, and she also has another residency now. And so she always makes the scenes with her artists. So that was the one thing. And after us, there are 4 more people are going to come here. Every 3 months a different person for 1 year. So they also have to do, all of them, just one zine in the end. That's the main idea of the residency. Not the idea, but the leftover somehow.
And otherwise we are kind of...
We were free to do everything, whatever we liked. And whatever we wanted to do. So he didn't have to do this camera, but he wanted to, and I'm also doing some things, and I'm still in the deciding process, will I show them or not, but they belong to us.
Okay.
We can take them with us, but the problem
because this camera I'm building is really big. and it's more the size you can take in the plane, and somehow it's a bit hard situation with this, because I'm now figuring out that what I'm going to do with this, because it's really big, and yeah, let's see.
Maybe he'll send maybe it by post. Maybe then let's I'll see use if post. It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably I mean, have to make a really good case for it.
Yeah. So it's kind of 1 meter and something, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. 1 meter and 20 on.
But it's not that heavy, right? I mean, the straws are they weigh nothing, and the aluminum is not that heavy either.
I mean, that's not 20 kilos maybe, but at least 8 mm-hmm. or 7.
Mm-hmm. So it's still kind of... It's not so hard.
Maybe I never weighed it.
Because it's not done yet.
It's not done. And yeah, 15,000 plastic tubes. it's
yeah, I think it's possible. We just have to figure out how to do it. And yeah, first he has to finish it, and then we'll figure it out. And yeah.
And then when you're home, what is waiting for you?
Yeah, you know, I think I already, you know, when I left Tbilisi, it was, you mentioned about these problems. When you go from your place of living, you leave the problems there, and then you have to go back to these
suddenly
problems, right?
And all this mess is waiting for
you. Yeah, somehow I had this... kind of 1 month of doing nothing in before I left, because I somehow was getting ready to come here, and people are already, you know, I'm working as a photographer there to make my living, and people are always like waiting me, when are you coming home, we need you, and
but that's like good that. You have jobs,
yeah, of
lined
course
up.
It's really nice, and also like I've left some kind of people yeah, anyway, it's I think not that much problems, but people are waiting to work.
And we also have some upcoming projects with Obscura,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah,
now they are preparing one exhibition. And when we're going to go there, we might do one exhibition
at the seaside.
In
really
Batumi,
nice.
That's a city just next
city.
To the Black Sea.
It's a seaside city, and it's kind of second or third largest one in Georgia, so it's really nice to go there, and now we'll have this seaside winter in some way.
Wow.
Yeah. For a week, maybe.
For a week, or yeah.
That sounds lovely.
Yes. So... And then maybe we might even do personal exhibitions after.
Yeah,
we usually do, we have never done our personal exhibitions yet. We are usually part of the group exhibitions.
Quite often.
And I think now Obscura also wants to make personal exhibitions.
Yeah, it's somehow...
And they are pushing us to do work.
Mm-hmm.
So we also want to do it. And let's see.
So I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
And I'm very happy that you were here. And I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just it was really nice to have a talk with you and all the people who are listening. And thank you to them also.
Alles blau.
Yes.